Very powerful words, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. God is good sometime?
All the time.
Amen? If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jude, we'll get ready to go before the throne of grace. It is something so amazing when we can come and see the face of Jesus.
Amen.
There's no one more exciting. There's no one more understanding and lovable and kind and compassionate. There's no one as merciful and gracious as the Son of God. Jesus Christ came to earth to show you and I that God is righteous. Jesus Christ came to earth to prove God's love to mankind. And that day in that stable, you got to always remember his entrance. Very subtle. He didn't call for the news press of the day. He didn't call for the priests, because he is the high priest. Amen? He didn't call for the king, because he's the king of kings. Amen? And he didn't call for the prophets, because he is the prophet of God. The one that Moses wrote about. He's the one that came in the spirit of Elijah. Okay? And what's so amazing is that the Holy Spirit was with him all the time. Can you imagine the Spirit of God being in that stable that night? Whew! It must have been electrified. Amen? It must have been something for Mary and Joseph. Can you imagine Mary, though? Even though her body was in anguish because she was bringing forth a child, yet the Spirit of God was with her. And as Jesus passed through the canal of her body, from the womb to the earth, can you imagine that baby loving her, and he came to rule his own mother? Can you imagine that? That the baby that she was having was her God, her Lord, and her Savior, her Creator. Now, how in the world did God work that one out? He's God. That just messed up my head. And I tell you, Joseph, standing by watching, watch this baby grow up until God moved him out of the way. Can you imagine what Joseph must have done or may have tried to do? When Jesus began his ministry and they started to spit at him and cuss him out, can you imagine, you're not going to do that to my son. You're not going to do that to my baby and get away with it. I'm only talking from a father, earthly father standpoint. Amen? Because I imagine me and Clinton and Brother Million would have picked up a club. So you're not going to talk to my child like that. You're not going to push him around. But you know what? God picked the right earthly father, didn't he? He didn't make a mistake. God picked the right earthly mother for Jesus. And when Jesus began to do his father's bidding, when he began to bring the gospel on in, not trained in the school of the rabbinics, but schooled by God himself. He knew the scriptures better than anyone, because he gave the scriptures. How can you contend with the one who gave the scriptures? Huh? How can you refute with him? You can't. And so, in his great wisdom and understanding and his knowledge of who God is, he said, no one knows the Father except the Son, and whom the Son will reveal him. Jesus is the only one that knew the heart of the Father on earth. So he came to do just that, Emma. He came to show people who God was and is. God is never in the past tense. God is always the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. He knows yesterday just like it is today, and he knows tomorrow as if it's happening right now. So nothing catches him by surprise. Jesus often, when the religious leaders will be mumbling and grumbling under their breath, the scripture, especially the King James Version, this is a King James kind of guy right here. You know what he would say? And the scripture said, and he perceived their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And that must have blew them away. But Jesus, the Son of God, he came here and he did the work of the Father. And they were mad at him because of it. The first big miracle he did in Jerusalem, as John records it in chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda, crippled for 38 years. Wow. Laying there, and often would be the first one there when the angel of the Lord would come in and trouble the waters once a year. And whoever got in the pool first was healed. And can you imagine the selfishness of people leaping over the man? All that time. And no one ever stopped and said, wait a minute, he was here first. Human nature is to take care of who? Self first. And you know what, Miss Vicky? The same Jesus went to that pool. And he went there deliberately for one purpose and one purpose only. Do you know what that was? He went there to heal that man. And he asked him the question. He asked the basic question. He said, do you want to be healed? And the man began to give him the last 38 years of what's been happening to him. That's not what the Lord asked him. But it's our nature to do that, isn't it? But you know what the Lord Jesus did? He listened patiently. He didn't tell the man to shut up. That's not what I ask you. And his benevolence and his compassion, he listened with a kind and tender heart. That's what Lord Jesus did, Emma. And when the man finished, you know what the Lord said to him, Zora? He said, pick up your bed and go home. That's all it took. He didn't have to ask the man if he believed in him. Or if he believed in his Father, God Almighty, he didn't ask him anything about doctrine. He just asked the man if he wanted to be healed. Man gave him his life story. And when Jesus finished listening to it, he said, okay, pick up your bed and go home. And the man got up and began to walk through the temple complex. And the religious leaders of his day got mad. He said, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. And he said, but that one who just told me to get it, the one who healed me, told me to get my bed and go home. I said, who is he? He said, I don't know. And then guess who shows up? Because Jesus got a habit of defending himself. Amen? You don't need any help. He shows up in there for the first time. We see one of the biggest arguments ensued in Scripture. Lord Jesus with the people. The religious leaders of Israel, they were angry. They were angry. But you know what? That day, they got the biggest eye-opener of their lives. When Jesus gave them his true identity, he said, let me tell you what's going to happen. Those who believe in him who sent me and believe in me will pass from death to life. Huh? And he didn't stop there. You read John chapter 5 starting at verse 19. You'll find out that Jesus revealed some stuff to those people. Miss Vicky, if you want to, you can have a seat. And as he began to give them facts about who he is, one of the greatest facts that he told them, what the Father had did for him. The Father gave him authority to judge the living and the dead. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Almighty God. Okay? Jesus in Jerusalem is talking to the religious leaders who supposed to have already known this. According to the scriptures, the Messiah would do these things. But yet they were spiritually blind and didn't know it. And Jesus opened their minds. He told them things. And hopefully they opened their minds, but some of the leaders of Israel got saved. The Bible tells in the book of Acts, a great number of the priests would get saved. They got saved, Miss Vicky. And so it's this same Jesus, and I have to draw the picture for you. Jesus time and time and time again went to people's door that nobody else wanted to go to. Such a person was a leper. And you know the one that had the contagious skin disease? In our day, we wouldn't want to touch anybody with AIDS, right? We want to run away from them. As a hospital chaplain, I've hugged many of them. Okay, in my time. Even as working in the prison, I've hugged many inmates who had AIDS. If I died, I died. So what? I know where I was going. I knew that. But in Jesus' day, you know what a person that had leper had to do? They had to scream out, leper, so that people would cross the street and not come near them. When folks would bring them food, you know what they do? They would feed them like a dog. When the leper approached the Lord, look at the heart of God now. Look at the heart of God. When the leper called out to Jesus, you know what the Lord Jesus did? The leper said, Lord, are you willing to heal me? And Jesus said, I am. And he walked up to the man, Zor. Now, by the Levitical law, Lord Jesus became unclean by going to a man that had a contagious, deadly disease. Okay? There's a section in Leviticus that God specifically told the priests how to handle people with leprosy. Okay? They even tell you that houses had leprosy in them too. Read it. But Lord Jesus went right up to the man, and the scripture says he reached out and did what? And he touched him. Woo! Glory to God. He reached out and put his hands on a man with a deadly disease that nobody else wanted to touch. They couldn't touch for fear of getting sick themselves. And you know what happened? Instantly. Instantly, the man's leprosy dried up. Just like that. Just like that. And you know what else? The same Jesus who was not afraid to touch people with contagious diseases also were not afraid to stop what he was doing and tend to people in need. Outside of Jericho, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus. Heard that Jesus was passing by. He heard the commotion of the crowd on end. And he asked the people, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, what did that mean to him? A blind man on the end. Think about that now. What did that mean to him? He didn't know anything about Jesus, but something about the spirit of Jesus touched that man's heart, and this man knew that he had to talk to this one called Jesus. And you know what he did? The Bible tells you and I that Bartimaeus screamed out the loudest. When the crowd tried to hush him up, Bartimaeus screamed out even more so. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now that must have freaked some Jews out in his day, because the term Son of David was meant to only be called to the Messiah. It's a messianic term. And here he was, a blind man, calling Jesus the Son of God, the Messiah. To the people, he was just an ordinary man from Nazareth, a carpenter's son. And yet this blind man called him the Messiah. And they told him to shut up. Be quiet. Don't trouble the master. And he screamed out even more, Ave. Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what? He stopped God in his tracks. Jesus put on the brakes. And the very ones who tried to hush the man up, Clinton, Jesus told them to go get him. And they went and got Bartimaeus and brought him to Jesus, our Lord. And standing there, Jesus is looking at Bartimaeus face to face. Bartimaeus can't see Jesus. He'd never seen this image or anyone at this moment. I mean, can you imagine this? And Jesus asked Bartimaeus the question that probably every human on earth wants Jesus to ask them. You know what that question was? It was an open-ended question. He said, what is it that you want me to do for you? Oh, glory to God. I can think of 100 different things. But you know, my first one would be, take me to the Father. I want to see God. And Jesus, okay. So Bartimaeus asked him that question. And you know what Lord Jesus said to this blind man? He said, let it be according to your faith. And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight, Emma. Immediately. But if he would have been going by the voice of the crowd, he would have never saw that day. Religious people were telling him to shut up. But the Spirit of God was saying, boy, I'm about to use you. Amen? I'm about to show this crowd something. Okay? And continually, Jesus, the Son of God, continued onward, demonstrating that he is in fact the Son of God. And now he has gone, the disciples is with him, he's on the boat asleep. And Satan sends a storm. These are 12 men in which the Lord Jesus Christ had chosen and trained to carry the gospel. By them witnessing everything that they saw him do. And they were supposed to write down everything that they saw him do as the Spirit of God gave them the ability to do so. So far, we only got 4 books of it, and they're called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 2 of them wasn't there with him. And yet that day on that sea, those 12 men freaked out. When the waves became taller than the boat and rocking the boat in ways that had never been rocked before, and the wind cutting up, acting a fool with them. Yes, having that way, hollering at them. If you understand that word, you realize that it's another word. Okay? Screaming at them, Emma. Trying to destroy them. And it is fear entered the disciples' heart. The same disciples in the book of Acts that will witness the gospel around the world. These same men who watched all the miracles take place were now like little children afraid. And you know what happened? The same Jesus, when they woke up, scared as they could be, woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we're about to drown? Don't you care that we're about to perish? I like what the Lord Jesus did. I love it. Because he looked at him in a little bit of army style with me, and it said, you of little faith. They forgot who was in the boat. And they looked up at the wind, because he could see the wind, and told the wind, be still. In other words, shut your mouth. Because we see the same kind of language taking place in Psalms 46:10, which says, and be still and know that I'm God. Popularly translated from Hebrew to English, be quiet. That's what it means. And know that I'm Yahweh. So Jesus just told the wind, be quiet. And it says to the sea, be still. This this is the same Jesus that we're getting ready to get to. We're going into the book of Jude here, and we're going to look at these disciples. Okay, the one who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who on the day of Pentecost was filled by the Spirit of God. And these men, under the anointing, under the unctions of the Holy Spirit, went from town to town on end, proclaiming the gospel, performing signs and wonders, doing miracles, healing, raising the dead, casting out demons, and proclaiming Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The one who died on the cross, the one who that God raised from the dead. These disciples went about teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. So as that was taking place, let me tell you, God was at work. And also, the enemy of God was at work too. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about being aware of false teachers. Jude, let me tell you a little bit about Jude, and then we'll go into the Lord in prayer. There's something amazing about Jude. Jude is not just an ordinary apostle, okay? Jude is not an ordinary man of God, all right? Let me tell you about Jude. In John chapter 7, Jude was one of the brothers who was talking trash to Jesus. He's one of Mary's sons. Also, the book of James, that's also one of Mary's sons, who grew up in the household with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is no ordinary person. He got the opportunity to see Jesus perform signs and wonders firsthand. He was among his brothers when the crowd said, "Shut him up! He's out of his mind! Get him out of here!" Jude and James, they were there with their mama trying to get him. They were the ones who showed up when the crowd says to Jesus, "Your mom and your brothers are here to see you." And Jesus says, "I tell you who my mother and my brothers are. These are my mother and my brothers, the ones who does the will of my father." And the crowd goes, "What? I can't believe he just dissed his mom and his brothers." Jude was one of the ones who heard that. And in John chapter 7, time to go to Jerusalem for the feast. And they start mocking their own brother. Say, "Hey, you, aren't you going up to the feast?" They didn't respect the Lord. They said, "How could anybody do what you do and not show himself publicly to his followers?" They were only saying it to get at him. But Jesus called them out. He said, "Let me tell you, you go up to the feast because the world doesn't hate you. You're just like the world." Whoa! You're one of the worlds. Okay, the world doesn't hate its own. You go up. I'm not going. My time is not yet. And you know what? They went on. And eventually the Lord went, but not on their terms. The same Jesus who had unsaved brothers on hand. Can you imagine that? The Son of God living in the same household as these men. They didn't believe in him. And you know what? While they were trash talking him and slandering him and belittling him, do you know what their brother was doing? Often when he would go out on the mountain and pray at night, I can see Jesus saying, "Father, don't let my brothers perish." How would it look to the King of Glory who sent me his son down here, and you allow my brothers to perish? How would that look in your eyes, God? I don't know if he talked to God like that. I just can only imagine that Jesus constantly, day in and day out, said, "Lord, Father, don't let them perish, because they really don't know who I am. They don't understand. They're just like the world. They're blind to the truth." Okay? So Jude was one of those brothers. And you know what's so wonderful? When you read in the book of Acts in chapter 1, starting at verse 13, you will find out that of the 120 that was listed in the upper room, guess who was listed? It said Mary, his mother, was there, and the other Mary, and his brothers. In chapter 2, we see when the Holy Ghost came to town. Amen? Guess who was filled with the Holy Ghost? Good old brother Jude, who was trash-talking Jesus. Good old brother James, who was trash-talking the Lord, were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Mr. Jude, who was trash-talking his brother, is now one of Jesus' disciples. And he introduces himself not as a brother of Jesus, which is a way to humble himself, but introduced himself as a bond servant, a bond slave, a slave that is bought. Okay? That's lowly, isn't it? And a brother of James. He identified his brother. Amen? But he said he was the brother of Jesus. He said, isn't that something? He'd go from trash talking his brother to saying, now I'm your slave. Look at God. Anyway, we're going to take a look a little bit further. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your son, Jesus, thanking you, dear Lord, for the living word of God. It's only by your decree, Lord Jesus, that Jude, one of your brothers that grew up in your household, Lord, one of Mary's sons, also now proclaim the gospel. And by your spirit, you had him to write this letter to other believers and to warn them about the false teachers that had crept into the church, and for them to keep their eyes on God and to hold on to your love and never give up. And be prepared to stand in defense of the gospel and tell people what it is that they believe in and why they believe it. And don't be moved because of men's opposition. Lord God, we're here today, nearly 2,000 years later, reading this letter from your brother Jude, Lord Jesus. And we're asking you that help us to take heed to the wisdom that you gave him to write to the church. Let us take heed today, because even today, Lord, there are more false teachers now than it was during your day when Jude was here on earth. Will you help us now by the Spirit receive the unadulterated word of God through the eyes of Jude? And it's in your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus, to give you glory and honor as we receive this living word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Jude day, around 86-4, somewhere around then, the emperor was Nero, the most wicked man on earth. Hated Christians with a passion. Things were not easy for the church. Things were very harsh. And on the end, can you imagine? You are writing this letter, and you're hearing about false teachers coming in the church, and you're telling God's people, don't give up. Hang in there. Hold on to God. Hold on to Jesus with everything you got. It has not changed. Today, there are some smooth-talking preachers in the church. And people think they sit down and they interview these men and women. And they say, oh, look what the Holy Spirit just sent us. Yeah, it was a spirit, all right, but it wasn't from God. And they want these people with fancy degrees and smooth talkers and who can make their ears itch and stretch that itch, make them feel good about themselves, and who bring all these wonderful programs that they call them into the church, and boy, they begin to grow and things are happening, but spiritually they're dead. They're not going anywhere. You don't see any spiritual growth taking place. Because that which is dead, that which has the spirit of the Antichrist in it, cannot produce life. So let's take a look at the Word of God. Jude, very complicated. You know why the book of Jude appeared to be complicated? Because it's taking you back in history of the Bible. That's all. It's just, I got to understand the periods in which he's talking about. And that's what we're going to do. We don't have much time because Shelley took up all the time on Emma. Judah, bondservant of Jesus Christ, in other words, saying that he's a slave. Right? Bye, darling. Bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Folks, no one is saved outside of God. Unless God calls that person and gives them to Jesus, no one can be saved. And once Jesus Christ received you, as he said, as we know it in John chapter 6, verse 44, he said, no one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will in no wise cast them out, but in the last day raise them up. It is Jesus who keeps us. In John chapter 10, he says, there's no one greater than my Father. And who's able to pluck you out of my Father's hand? In other words, once you're in the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom to stay. Okay? You will not be removed. You belong to Jesus. And so he's given a very encouraging letter here. And he's telling mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. He's not saying, oh, God going to get you for this. Because, you know, this brother got word. He got word that some bad stuff is going on in the church. Okay? Not just the church where he fellowship at, but all in the regions around. He's hearing that there are bad teachers out there. They are misleading the people. Okay? Misleading them hugely. If there's such a word. Bad. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. And notice now, he's not going to hop on that because he's known that salvation only comes from the Lord. He said that's the common bond and the salvation is Jesus. Our common bond is Jesus. Okay? As the apostles had wrote, there's no other name in which men could be saved except the name of who?
Jesus.
So he's given us that. So I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend honestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, I want you to stand up and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to stand up with boldness and tell people what you believe and why you believe it, and don't let them move you from it. Period. That's what he wants. And when people begin to trash talk Jesus, he says, stand up for him. When people begin to trash the apostles, stand up for them. Okay? When they begin to trash talk the church, stand up for it because it belonged to Jesus. Amen. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let whoever it is, Muslim, Buddhist, New Age Order, New World Order, whatever it's called nowadays, whatever their belief system is, if it's not according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't let them back you in a corner and say to you, you're wrong, but we're right. You stand up on the word of God and you tell them, no devil, there's no one can be saved outside of Jesus, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except by Jesus. Amen. You stand on that. And tell them the only way that men could be saved is that they believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who bled and died and was raised again by God himself on the third day. You don't let people back in a corner and tell you there's more than one way to get to God. If you believe that, you're not saved. You need to go back to the Word of God, and you need to go back to the cross. Okay? So he's telling them to believe, to stand up for it. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Did you get that? That's why it is important that you know who's in the church. Know their backgrounds, know where they come from, know what they believe in, and know what they're doing. Watch with a watchful eye. Pay attention. Be observant. Read the Bible. See their actions. Know what's going on. And that's why certain people I don't let in that door. Y'all ever see me do that? Mm-hmm. I said, oh, no, not coming in here with that. No. Because I have an obligation to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have an obligation to defend you, to make sure your mind don't get messed up with a bunch of crap. Pardon the expression. It's mess, okay?
and it's a curse. It is my responsibility. Miss Marie called me one day and she said, Sammy, come over here quickly. I go, what's wrong? She said, something's happening. I need you. I go, oh, Lord, what done happened to Miss Marie? I get over there and the Jehovah's Witnesses had her surrounded. And boy, were they putting the work on her. And she said, here's my Bible teacher, Sammy. And then she backed off. And for the next whatever length of time it was, me and them. But see, what they didn't know, I had the spirit of the word of God in me. And the first thing they said to me on the end, they said, where's your Bible? And Miss Marie said, he's the walking Bible. Don't exalt me like that. Give God the glory. And they began to speak doctrine of the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower. And then they started in on the Greek. When they did that, the Lord said, go get them, boy. And they started quoting Greek to me. And I go, you don't know what you just did. Because that is not accurate. Now, let me tell you why. And I started telling them the Greek grammar rules and all. And tell them why what they believe was a false translation. It says in the Bible that Jesus is a God. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. And I go, oh, no, 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 no. There's no particle A there. Nowhere in the manuscript. You added that. Folks, you got to be able to stand up. And the only way for you to stand up, you must know what you're talking about. A guy down at the lumber yard, the Lotchwood lumber yard, he got in on me on the end. He started talking. And he said, I'm Jehovah's Witness. I go, okay. And he started talking about Jesus. And, oh, it says in there that Jesus is, he's not Almighty God. He's the Mighty God. And he just started slamming Jesus. Okay. And it said, written in the Greek. I go, oh, yeah? I said, let me ask you a question. Where did you get your Greek from? He said, I got it from the Septuagint. I said, you did. Folks, I looked at him and, I lit into him. And of course, later on, my wife, God used my wife to light into me. God, she said, Sammy, you missed the opportunity from the Holy Spirit to teach that man truth. Instead, you was too quick to want to correct him. And I go, and the light went off because I had on the boxing gloves. And I also had on the gloves of arrogancy and pride because I wanted to show him how much I knew and how much he didn't know. I wanted to put him in his place. Because that's the mentality I had. I had just gotten out of seminary. Boy, every seminary student, boy, they want to make people look stupid. And that's what I was. I was just as dumb as I could be. Because I didn't have the right application. The other words called wisdom from God. Now I sit back and I listen. I listen carefully. The other day at the wash rack on the end, I'm sitting in the car and I'm reading the word of God and I seen this woman get out of her car and she approached me. I'm sitting in our van and I let down the window and she says to me, she said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. She started on about what she wanted to do. And I knew who she was. And she came with her material, and I know what it was. And she started, and she wasn't a mean-minded lady. She was very friendly, and most of them are. And the thing she started saying, Big Brother, was, do you know that we're not supposed to be with unclean people, touch that which is unclean? I said, I have a problem. And I need you to help me to understand something. And she says, what's that? I said, why did you all spread a spirit of division? She said, what do you mean by that? I said, you all said that you belong to Jesus, but you won't pray with other believers. I said, because a person called themselves Baptist or whatever, it doesn't mean they're not saved. I said, the name is, that's just man-made, but the salvation comes from God. And they're washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. So why are you all spreading a spirit of division? And then she quotes a passage from Isaiah chapter 52 about unclean utensils. And God said, do not handle that which is not clean. And I'm going, am I hard on end? You know that pride wanted to come out, didn't you? I said, ma'am, everybody who's saved by Jesus and washed in his blood is not unclean. She said, but we don't know what kind of spirit that person have. I said, the person is saved, they have the same spirit that you're supposed to have, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. So how are they unclean then? Please tell me. You know what? She couldn't give me any sound explanation. Because the Word of God is sure. The Word of God is pure. It does not lie. She was coming with a false doctrine, Zor. She was coming with a false teaching, a teaching that Jesus Christ himself did not use. It's a teaching that God himself corrected Peter on. Remember in Acts chapter 10 when the sheep let down with unclean animals? Do y'all remember the statement? And God says to Peter, eat. And Peter said, no, my Lord. Nothing unclean or common ever touched these lips. God asked him twice, kill, eat. Peter said, no. And then God rebuked him sharply. He said, don't you call what I have made unclean. Referring to the Gentiles. Peter thought all Gentiles were unclean. And that he couldn't have no contact with them. He didn't get that from Jesus. Understand me? And you know what happened on end? Moments later, he heard a knock at the door. Because some Gentiles had come looking for him. And the Holy Ghost said, go. I sent him. Go with him. So unless you're corrected by God, unless you understand what God is doing, be aware of false teachers. Even Paul stood Peter up one time for teaching something that wasn't sound. Discriminating against Gentiles. But Peter still was saved. Now, Jude is referring to here about people who are unsaved, who come in the name of Jesus. And they come with a purpose to deceive you. And they come with the purpose on end to line their pockets. And teenage girls, listen to me, and young women like you, listen to me. They come for one purpose, and that's to get you on your back. Listen to what it says. It's in the scriptures. Okay. Listen to what it says. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. In other words, Jews said they're going to hell. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. Anybody know the definition of lewdness? That's sexuality or sexual immorality, shall I say. And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not there for the things of Christ. They're there to proclaim that they are, but they're really not. They're there for two reasons. And those reasons are to have sex with as many women as they could and to line their pockets. Let's face it, folks. And a lot of churches, pastors get paid a lot of money, don't they? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. What you paying me? What are you all paying me? Right? My money comes from who? From God. Okay? Great. Now, you have to be aware of this because you may not always be with this ministry. You may up and move somewhere else. You go to college, Zora. You may want to go to church on the campus. You may want to go to church off the campus. You got to be very careful about who you go and listen to. Because their motives may not be the same as the original apostles. That's why I tell you all, make sure wherever you go and you're under their preaching and teaching, make sure that their hearts are in the Word of God and that their motives are for God. Okay? But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, in other words, he's talking about the Exodus, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. Even though during the Exodus on end, there was great movement The children of Israel, nearly 3 million of them, are in the desert. They watch God perform the miracles in Egypt. They watch God open up the Red Sea, okay? They watch God get manna from heaven and draw water out of a rock. And yet there was a group of them that still didn't believe in God. There was a group of them still contended with Moses. They wanted to be in charge. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be the one call all the shots. And you know what? God has something for them. God knew who they were. And he's going to talk about them in a moment. So God know who these false teachers are. And that's what Jude is saying. That even though the nation of Israel watched God does, you know, did wonderful things, and yet there was a small number who had to buck against God. Okay? Anand, do you remember about 30 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, there was a play came out, Your Arms Too Short to Box with God, with Jennifer Holliday, Lionel Rich, and Melba Moore and all them? Well, I use that saying today that your arms are too short to box with God. Why you want to get in God's face and shake your fist? You think you're going to win? Anyway, he's telling them after that God destroyed those wicked people and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting change on the darkness for the judgment of the great day. In Genesis chapter 6, it tells you and I that the sons of God came down and they had relationship with women, the daughters of men, and giants were conceived. The Nephilims and the Rephaims. That's how the giants come on the earth. Goliath was the product of one of them. Did you know that? Because angel had sex with women. They said, the Bible said that, and the sons of God came down and saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. Boy, them angels go, ooh, look at their head. Okay? And they got out of their proper place. Those angels God are holding in a hole in hell until the day of judgment. Got a special place for them. They're not the demon that's harassing people. These boys are being held in darkness until the day of judgment. They were so bad, God said, I'm not going to let you loose anymore. I'm confining you right now. And it talks about here in verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. People, when God determined that you are bad, you're bad. When God determined he's going to bring judgment against you while you're yet living, he's going to do that. And not only while you're yet living, he says, but in the day of judgment, I will give you eternal punishment. So God said, I'm going to get you for that while you're yet living, and I'm going to get you for that when you die. She's going to get you twice. So those teachers, Jude is putting these teachers in the same category as God did those people. He said, look, God got eternal punishment in store for them. And while they're yet living, God got punishment for them. They're not going to get away with it. Folks, it is a deadly thing to get in the house of God and to lie to God's people and to have an ulterior motive just to fill your pockets with, as Paul would call, filthy lucre. In other words, only preaching for money. When I was in my doctoral study, I heard a fellow student say, he said, brother, he said, I don't speak for less than $300 a visit. What? And I looked at him and go, you what? And I said, I don't charge people anything. He said, brother, why are you messing up my gig? You making all of us look bad. I said, the Bible tells me not to charge. It is not my place to be charging people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, freely given. He said, freely receive, freely what? Give. The gospel didn't cost me anything to be saved. Jesus paid it all. Amen? So why am I going to go out and charge somebody else? I said, if a church is a long distance away and they feel they need to pay my expenses, I'm okay with that to get me there. But I'm certainly not going to charge them for me coming. I'm not going to do that. And if they want, I don't charge for weddings. There's not one wedding out of all I've done many, not one wedding they ever charge for. People in the, in fact, I had folks say, you're going to take this money. I'm going, okay. So I don't charge for funerals.
You might charge mine.
And so here we are. The word of God is telling us, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. They don't like church leadership. They don't like church leadership. They hate the pastor. They hate the deacons. They hate the brothers and sisters who put in position of authority. And they try to buck the system every chance they get. They're the ones that stabbing you in the back and making life miserable for you. They're the ones you got to watch out for, Zora, as young as you are. You think they're your friend, they laugh in your face and stab you in the back. Okay? You need to be aware of this. Moving right along. And yet Michael the archangel, did you get this? Another word for archangel is chief angel. Okay? Moses is now dead. It's amazing what God does here. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, it talks about the death of Moses. Moses is not dead, and it said God himself buried Moses. And nobody knew where Moses' grave was, because God kept it secret. But Satan knew where it was. And Satan wanted to go get his body. And Michael, the archangel, was there guarding Moses' body. And said, no, you're not. But yet, it said that God, Michael, by the way of God, did not charge Satan with a railing accusation. In other words, he did not condemn Satan. Devil, you're going to go to hell for this. No, he didn't do that. He said, the Lord rebukes you. He told him like it was. He said, the Lord rebukes you. God himself going to get you, Satan, for this. For trying to get his son's body. God's going to get you for this. And that's what we must do. When they come in, we must tell them, look, God's going to get you for this. I don't rebuke you because I'm not the owner of the church. Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ rebukes you. He's going to get you for this. Amen. Can y'all give me a couple more minutes?
Yep.
And so here he talks about that. So they dispute about the body of Moses. They are not bringing against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally. Like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. They just go about living on impulse. Whatever they see that they want to do, they do it. That's what wild animals do. They live by what we call basic instincts, on impulse. Okay? You throw a dog a piece of meat, guess what he's going to do? He's going to go after him. If other dogs go good, guess what he's going to do with other dogs? He's going to bite him. He's going to get in a fight. Basic instincts, okay? The ability to do whatever feels good whenever. All right? That's the way these people are. They don't care if they destroy you. They don't care at all. They're going to go after you. If that's what it means to get to the top, they're going to go after you. Spreading lies, spreading lies, spreading lies. They're going to do it. Okay? And you got to be aware of it. Be careful. Because a speaker can speak good, make sure what they're doing is lining up with the word of God. Make sure you're feeling the spirit of God in them. And if you're not being moved by the Holy Ghost, get out. If your spirit is telling you something's not right here, leave. The spirit tells you to move on, leave. If you're not growing spiritually in the word of God, and if you don't see the person themselves, I don't care because they've been to school. You know what the term disciple means? It means student. You're a lifelong student of Jesus Christ. That means you're always learning from the spirit. I'm always learning. I'm always coming in here sharing with y'all. Oh, don't I sit down and say, Clint, you got to hear this. I just shared with y'all this morning what happened to me in the wee hours of the morning, did I not? That means I'm learning from the Holy Spirit. If I'm not growing spiritually, something's wrong. That means I'm spiritually dead. I've closed my heart to the things of Christ. And if you're not growing, something's wrong. Look at the leadership. My job is trying to influence you to move, get beyond this. And as the Holy Spirit had me talk to you this morning, get beyond where we are now. Get out there and share Jesus. Get out there and tell people to come on in. I stood on the sidewalk by myself prior to passing out those things, telling people to come. You got to do it. The leader's got to lead by example. When you're on your motorcycle, stop and tell people to come. When you're in your van in the doctor's office, stop and tell people to come. When you're grocery shopping, stop and tell people to come. That's our responsibility to collectively. Tell them to come. When you're on the playground, tell them to come. Tell them Jesus loves them. Tell them don't come see the preacher, come see Jesus. That's what this is all about. Long day, I know. Long day. We're getting to the end. And so they corrupted themselves. Verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What did Cain do? He killed his brother. In other words, they're in the same class, excuse me, they're in the same class as murderers. Have run greedily in the era of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Anybody know who Balaam was? It was a false prophet that the king, a bad king, Moab, wanted Balaam to curse the people of Israel when they were coming through their territory. And you know what? God told Balaam, don't you do that. Don't you dare do that. You don't believe me? Start reading it. And I think it's number 21. Go there and start reading. And you'll find the story out about Balaam. Okay? Balaam was the one that God used an ass to talk to. Yeah, I said a jackass. Okay?
Who's that?
And so, instead of cursing Israel, he blessed them. But you know what? He had been paid by the king to put a curse on Israel. In other words, these people in it for the money. Run away from it. And Paris, Korah was one of the ones who rebelled against Moses. And you know what happened? God caused the earth to open up and swallow them. Moses made a great declaration. He said, those who are on the Lord's side, let them come over here to me. And boy, people went to jumping. And those who are not, stay over there with Korah and Dathan and their clans. You know what happened? The people that stayed over with Korah and Dathan, do you know what happened to them? The earth opened up and swallowed them. God closed the earth back up on them. Never be seen again. They're in hell waiting for judgment. Wow. These are spots in your love feast. Be careful who you invite to dinner, huh? While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. All right, what does that mean on end? Carried about by the winds? They jump from place to place. They're never satisfied. Are you hearing me? They come here, they destroy this congregation, and the next thing you know, they go to another place, they destroy that place. And that's where they are. Find out what their reputation is. Where you been with you, huh? Who you fellowship with? Hey, y'all know anything about this person? No, we don't. Where'd they come from? He said he did this and that. Oh, that person? Oh, brother, let me tell you. You better watch your back. Brother, we need to talk. You're not going to do that here. If you come here, we want you to repent of your sins to the Lord Jesus. We're not going to have this. If you can't align yourself with the Word of God, there's the door. That's my responsibility as an officer of the church. That's his responsibility. And that's Big Brother back there's responsibility. And it's your responsibility. Tell. There's the door. If you can't do what Jesus says, there's the door. You're not coming in here with that divisive spirit. All right, let me go. So, the autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, forming up their own shame. Wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You ever heard of a black hole? Call it Singletary. Am I right, Zor? Swallows in on itself. No good. Useless. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Don't worry about the number there. They're just simply saying that God is coming with innumerable amounts of angels. Okay, the saints here are angels. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way. Boy, he should put it in there, ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Okay? And all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh, you hear people talk bad about Jesus and about God? How many in here have done that? How many heard folks say that? Yeah. Guess what? There's a day of reckoning coming for them. You think God going to let them get away with that? Especially those who like to use the GD word. Hello. Yeah, I said it. You all heard people use the GD word. Guess what? You're speaking evil of God when you do that. And you're going to pay for that. You better get on anybody here that's done that and hadn't repented of it to Jesus, you better get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. You don't want to get tied up in judgment having using God's name in vain. These are grumblers, complainers. In other words, they're never satisfied, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Be careful with people who can fast talk you. Okay? Be very careful. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, remember the pure gospel. Okay? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the word of God. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who will walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the spirit. I mean, are they? They look good. They smell good. They walk good. They talk good. And at the same time, they got an underlying motive. They want something from you. And the final analysis there, he said, and they're without the Spirit. Otherwise, they're not saved. They're not saved. We're in the latter days of this, folks. Look around you. Last week, we talked about the great falling away. How did they begin to fall away? Because they got teachers like this that's misleading them. And they follow this garbage. Instead of leading them to life, it leads them to death. Eternal separation from God. Okay? Y'all can write this one in the book, long sermon today, because Shelley took up all the time singing. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You got that? Get along and talk to God. And if God allows you to use tongues as a language to speak to Him, do so. It's in the scriptures. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't stop loving God. No matter what. Looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Continue to look towards the heaven and expect Jesus to split the sky. Expect His arrival. Anticipate His arrival. And on some, have compassion. That means, Clinton, you don't have to slap Matthew upside the head every day. Just sometime. Matthew, I was just playing with your baby. It says, making a distinction, but others say with fear. Sometimes you got to get in people's face. Sometimes you have to say, come here, young lady. I saw you playing footsie with that guy under the table. Come here. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to have that. She knows I'm using it. Okay? God saw when you just put that candy in your pocket and you didn't ask Shelley for it. Give it here. What am I doing, everybody? I'm calling them out with fear, right? Paul told Timothy to do that on the end. He said, to those who sin, rebuke before all, so that others also may fear. Every now and then, Miss Vicky, you have to tell your singing crew, stop. Ladies, get it together. And if they go, what? What are we doing? He said, you know exactly what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Let's sing glory to God. We're here to rehearse for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. If you want to talk to junk, go out there and talk, because this is not the time for it. You know how I tell y'all sometimes, hey, stop, put on the brakes. We're here to worship God. Get your mind in the right place. Stop that. Poke him and wake him up. He can stay awake. All right, moving right along. So, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. So, some people you have to intentionally, big brother, go after. They may not like it. You may embarrass them. You may even embarrass yourself, too. But you'll save their souls. An aunt, sometimes you have literally got to go and get your children. My wife embarrassed Michael one night, our oldest son, so bad in South Carolina. 2 o'clock in the morning, she pushed me. I'm in bed sleeping. She pushed me. She said, "Get up. Let's go." I said, "Huh? Get up. Let's go. We're getting dressed. We're going to get him. He's not home yet." I said, "Okay." And she said, "I'm driving." And everybody knows that's not good. So we get there, and he's sitting on the front step of her apartment, you know, her parents' apartment with her, just sitting down talking. Nothing was going on. He was just sitting there talking. And he seen his mom walk up with fire in her eyes, and she said, "Get in the van with your dad and give me the keys of the car." He said, "Mom," she said, "You heard me. Now." He was a sophomore in college. By law, he was grown. But to his mama, that was still her baby. And she went and rebuked him openly with fear. "Get in that van with your daddy right now." I'm going, whoa. Anyway, and so Jude closes with a great, great doxology. Glory to God. Learn this one. A great praise. "Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling," King James, regular King James says, "keep you from falling," which is beautiful. James is telling now, Jude is now telling believers how to stand. They must stand in the strength of God. "Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless." Jesus Christ is the only one who can present us to God without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. In other words, with no faults at all, Zor. "Before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and glory, or power, both now and forever. Amen." Amen. Apologize for going a little long today. Got off a little rocket start this morning. You keep standing, Dick. You're going to come over here and close them out. But I'm going to ask you right now, is everything all right with you and Jesus? Have you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you? Have you? Is there anything in your life right now? When I misteach something and I have the ability from the Holy Spirit to come back and correct it, I do so. I don't want to be held accountable for false teaching. And so every head bow and every eye close. Will you pray not just a prayer of dismissal? Pray that God's glory fall on this place. Come on, I'm praying with you. Father, thank you.
Jesus, we come to you today in prayer to ask that bring your grace, your glory, everything to this place, to everybody in here, to help us spread your word, to help us find other people that you would like to be saved, that we would like to be saved.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can take everybody with us to your house. We pray that you're with us after we leave here, and give us strength while we're gone.
Yes, Lord.
Spread your word. In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Next week, by the will of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about one of the most amazing things, dwelling in the secret place while wearing the armor of God. Otherwise, get ready for war. Okay? The only way you can prepare for it is being in the presence of God. That's next week. It's next week.